I love stories, and I like to hear them in different ways. So that's why this morning we've had two stories already, and I'm about to tell you a third one. It's a story of Martin and Morgan. Now, if I've already used this story before, I apologise, but good stories are worth hearing twice, aren't they? Once there were two identical twins named Martin and Morgan. They looked so alike that even their closest friends couldn't tell them apart. But looks were the only way that these two were alike. And they didn't act alike. Martin was the perfect child. He always obeyed his parents. He was kind to other people. He studied hard in school. And he had high moral standards and values. Morgan, on the other hand, was a different story. He was constantly being disobedient to his parents. He mistreated other kids, he lied, he took things that didn't belong to him, and he was always in trouble. He was continually breaking his parents' heart. As Morgan and Martin grew older, the differences between them also grew. Martin continued to be the model student, applying himself and excelling in everything. Morgan, however, got into deeper and deeper trouble. He began to have run-ins with the law. First, it was for minor offences like traffic violations and truancy. But the older he got, the more serious the trouble became. He was in and out of jail as a teenager. Then as a young adult, he committed the ultimate crime. He killed someone and he was found guilty of first-degree murder and he was sentenced to die in the electric chair. He tried all that he could, or his lawyers did, with appeals, but the execution date was set. The day before he was to die, Martin came to visit him on death row. The guard opened Morgan's cell and let Martin in and then walked away. Immediately, Martin began taking off his clothes and he told Morgan to do the same. Martin then put on Morgan's clothes and Morgan put on Martin's clothes. A few minutes later, the guard came back to let Martin out of the cell, but instead, it was Morgan who walked out, down the hall and out the door to freedom. The next day, they came to take Morgan to the electric chair. Without realising, he was actually Martin. They walked him down the hall to the electric chair, strapped him in, and ended his life. But Morgan was free. Incredible story, isn't it? That story, the story of Martin and Morgan, seems totally unbelievable. I mean, who would willingly give up his life to save a convicted felon? A murderer of all things. Who would give up his successful, purposeful, good life for someone who, in my opinion, was not worth saving? Because he'd never done anything positive or good in his life. And most likely I've concluded that he probably never would. And for Martin to give his life freely, knowing that his death was going to cause him incredible pain, humiliation and suffering, who would make such a sacrifice? My friends, that's exactly what Jesus did for me. Me, a sinner, guilty of many misdemeanors, but set free because Jesus stepped in and he took my punishment. That is what Jesus did for me, and here's the good news, that is what Jesus did for you too. In fact, Jesus did that for everyone. Everyone out there, no one is not invited. All are invited to be part of that great banquet which we will have in heaven. What a celebration party that's going to be. Do you think there'll be games like this in heaven? I wonder. I'm sure there'll be things that we've never imagined, but there'll be a great party for all of us because we're all invited. It will be an amazing celebration. And it's not just for a select few, because Jesus paid the price to ransom all of us, every single one of us. We are all invited because of Jesus' amazing sacrifice. Morgan was a murderer, but Martin took his punishment so that he could go free. so that he could have the opportunity of a second chance. Just like that wayward son in the story we just saw on the video. That wayward son who left his father and spent all of his inheritance in wild living. But when he came back, there was no hesitation on the father's part to welcome his son home and restore him to a place of honour. His father didn't offer him a probation period, a time to prove himself. No, he opened his arms and took his son back just as he was. And then he threw a big party for him. Friends, all are invited, all are welcome, and heaven celebrates when every one of us is returned to the fold. You know, I'm standing here today in this church because I was welcomed back here after a time of wandering away. My prayer for this church is that it will always be a place that welcomes and receives everyone, just the way they are, warts and all. I pray that we are never, ever like the other son in the story, who was not in a party mood because he was put out. He missed all of the celebrations because he was sulking. It's not fair. I've been loyal and I've tried to do everything right, and he runs off and does everything wrong. He comes back and just like that, there's a big celebration. What about me? It isn't fair. You've heard that song before. And that's what he was thinking. But, you know, in God's eyes, we are all special, despite our big or our small failings. We are all special to God. All of us are beautifully loved and wonderfully forgiven sinners. Beautifully loved and wonderfully forgiven. All of us are unique and incredibly important to God. Remember that today. If you don't remember anything else, remember how incredibly important you are to God. And there was a party in heaven the day that you asked Jesus to be your personal saviour. Can you believe that? Well, believe it today, because God loves you so, so much. And you are incredibly important to him. And I pray that we can celebrate whenever a brother or sister finds their way back home. No matter who they are, I pray that we can celebrate. No matter what they've done, we can celebrate and welcome them, because that's what's happening in heaven. So my prayer today for this church going forward, we're celebrating all of those things that have happened in the past. We're celebrating what's happening now and we're thinking about the future. I pray that this church would continue to always be a real home. A real home for all who come in. And a real home is a welcoming home, an accepting home, a loving home. And may that be the case for this church today.